Well, as we continue in a theme on prayer, I wanted to look closer at the immediate passage of our key verse in the book of James. And so let's take our Bibles over to the book of James and chapter 5. James chapter 5. The title of the message this morning is Be Patient Until Jesus Comes. Be patient until Jesus comes. That's what our text here before us is telling us to do. And so as we come to James chapter 5, we're going to begin our reading in verse number 7. James 5 and verse 7. The Bible says, Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word and the power that lies in the very words here of you, our God. And Father, I pray that you would teach us this morning, you would help us to have a right mind about your soon return, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would help us to be faithful till Jesus comes. Help us to be about your business. Lord, help us to understand this text and to apply it appropriately to our life. We thank you for this. Father, I pray that you'd work in every heart here, and I pray for those who would tune in online as well, that you would encourage them today through your word, and you would help them to draw near to you. And if there is someone who knows not Christ who will hear the message today, I pray that they would recognize that religion does not save, that their good works do not amount to a hill of beans. Help them to realize that Jesus is the only way, and he is 100% paid the price for their salvation, and that they might trust Jesus simply and completely today for their salvation. I thank you for this, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Patient until Jesus comes. We must be patient. The Bible here in these two verses, 7 and 8, tells us twice to be patient. Be patient. I think of this book, James. This James, of course, a servant of the Lord and used of God under the direction of the Holy Spirit to pen these words for us. James is an important and practical book. The whole book. So many important topics are dealt with, from our tiny little tongue, which is described as a little member that boasteth great things and can kindle a massive fire. And we are instructed about that in chapter 3, about our tongue. But look with me for a moment, just a couple of highlights. Going back to the first chapter, as James, a servant of the Lord, writes, he says these words here in verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, into all these different kinds of trials, the trials of life, where James' audience was suffering. They were facing difficulty for their faith. They were facing trials in their life. There was sickness. There was persecution. There were manifold difficulties. And James says, write it down in your diary. This is joy. Mark it down. It's an accounting term, count. Mark it down in the ledger book. This is joy. Now, it wasn't, you know, an easy trial, these trials they were facing, but you kind of see just a little bit of background, just a snippet here of his audience that he's writing to, and then thereby maybe even some identification with you and the trials of life that you may be facing in this 21st century. And we come here now to verse 5. Notice what the Lord says here in his word. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so we're encouraged to seek God, to seek the Lord for wisdom. We are to recognize that God is always good. Look forward to verse 17 here of chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have a faithful, steady, and good God. We can trust him through thick and thin. Even when the sky is dark, God is there. God is there. He is good all the time. We are encouraged in chapter 2 to live our faith. In chapter 2, verse 17, we are told that faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. We are encouraged to live out our faith, not merely to talk about it. Very practical, this book of James is. And so, we come to the final encouragement as we draw to the last chapter where we will come today. To these final words, we are encouraged to live for Jesus, to be patient until he returns. He is coming again. The Lord Jesus is coming. And so we, even as the people that James was writing to, we may be facing difficulties and trials and health needs and hardships and struggles and losses in our life, but we too can count it all joy, and we can pray to God for wisdom through the trials, and we can recognize that God is always and only good, and we can come through and recognize God's called us to live out our faith in this dark and dirty world. We can live for Jesus, and we can be patient until he comes. Stay the course. Be patient. You see, being patient means to remain under the load. Not to run, not to flee, but to stay the course. Be patient. Live for Jesus. He's coming again, just as he promised. I have four E's this morning, four letter E's to break down these several verses. And so, first of all, endure with expectation. Expectation is the E there. Expectation. How can we be patient? How can we endure and live for Jesus? We can endure with expectation. Consider verse 7 there. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You know, it gives an illustration right here in the text. It says here, the husbandman, this is a farmer, this is a vine dresser, right? This is someone who's planting a crop, perhaps grapes, perhaps a tree, a fruit-bearing tree or shrub. even other grains. This is someone who's planting. You know that when you plant, when people get excited this spring about planting things in the ground, now some things pop up pretty quickly. Some things start bearing fruit within just a few months. But you know, other things take a long time. They take a long time. Sometimes, if you're going to plant a vineyard, it's going to take years. If you're going to plant some fruit trees, it's going to take years and years before those trees become established and fruitful. It takes patience. God is telling us that just like the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. And so that farmer waits. He waits for the crop to grow, and he's certainly busy while he waits. There's many things to attend to be about the business of the farm, about the business of being a husbandman, caring for those plants. And you know what? We ought to be busy about our Lord's business until he comes. But I want you to recognize that we can endure the challenges of life with expectation. What is coming? It's not just what, it's who. Who is coming? He's coming again. He's coming for us, just like he promised. Jesus said in John 14, and he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He's coming again. My friend, those words have not yet been fulfilled. Oh, he's been building. The master craftsman has been constructing. And what a wonderful, glorious place it is. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God's preparing for them that love him. Wow, what a glorious place God is preparing. And so God will fulfill his word in his time. Let us remember, Jesus will come again. Let us not be unfaithful servants who begin to neglect our Lord's commands and to do wrong things with what he's entrusted to us. May God help us to be patient, to stay the course, and to endure here with expectation. There's the expectation of Jesus coming again, looking forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Yes. But I want you to also consider that we can serve God with expectation of that precious fruit. The precious fruit. You see, it's worth it to live for Jesus. It's not just, you know, get saved and then just kind of sit back and hold on until, you know, life's time on this earth is over. No, not at all. There is work to be done. We'll work, as we sang, till Jesus comes. We must be about his business. Even the apostles who were gazing up at the Lord's ascension were instructed by the angels, and perhaps, you know, banged on the shoulder and said, hey, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? Right? Get to the work. Get to what he said. He will come again in like manners you've seen him go. And so, we ought to be serving and looking for the precious fruit as we labor for Jesus. Consider the words in Galatians. I'm going to ask you to turn over there. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians and chapter number 6. We'll begin with verse number 8. Galatians 6 and verse number 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh," and of course soweth means to plant. "He that planteth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap or harvest corruption," corrupt things. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, this is not talking to us about a formula of how to work to get saved. This is a formula. This is a truth God is sharing with us that we will reap what we plant. Thus, the laws of sowing and reaping. What you plant in your garden this spring, you will harvest. If there's not crop failure, and if you tend to all the weeds that don't need to be planted. You see, there's always corrupt things that will come. If you do nothing, the garden of your life will be an overgrown mess of yuck. But if you work, you serve God, you can have a fruit-bearing life. A fruit-bearing life. As you abide in Jesus, we can bring forth fruit. And so as we serve God, as we plant to the Spirit of God, we can reap, we can harvest something that has eternal significance. Look at that there in verse 8. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap something with eternal significance. Yes, indeed. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Why are we instructed to not be weary? Because at times when the way is hard, we can feel weary. We can feel like quitting or giving up. God says, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, there's usually every summer there's a garden or two that had a good start. It had a good start, and they were out there when forced to plant and to get the rows made. And you know, I'm thinking of a particular spot that I've driven by a few times this past year. And you know, about in June or so, after the plants started to come up, but other plants started to come up, known as weeds. And those weeds, in this case that I'm thinking of, were not dealt with. They were not dealt with, and I don't know that there was much fruit that came out of that particular garden that comes to my mind. It wasn't ours, but it could have been if we'd left it be. You see, when you don't tend to the garden, you don't get the precious fruit. And so we are to endure, stay the course, keep hoeing the rows with expectation. The day will come when there'll be fruit and mature fruit on these plants. And so let us endure, trusting God. Secondly, let's notice over in our passage here, back in James and chapter 5. James and chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, be ye also patient. So we've just been told in verse 7 to be patient. For the Lord Jesus is coming again. The farmer, he waits. The gardener, he waits for the precious fruit. He has long patience to receive the early and latter rain. But now in verse 8, we're encouraged again, be ye also patient, just like that farmer. Be patient. Keep hoeing the rows. Keep praying for rain. Establish your hearts. Don't be fickle. Don't say, it's not worth it. Establish your heart. Establish. A word we would use more so in our common language would be the word establish. Same concept. It means to make firm, to strengthen, to plant firmly. And God is saying to us, plant your heart. Don't be driven about by the winds of change. Plant your heart. When the storms come, stay the course. Get out there again the next day. Pick up the pieces. Hoe the rows. Pray for rain. And look for the harvest. And so, we should not only, number one, endure with expectation, but secondly, we can endure through edification. Edification. You know, when you're out there hoeing those rows in a garden You're out there picking from the very plants around them. You know, we planted actually around 500 trees last summer, and boy, there was a lot of work involved. I will be flat honest with you. There was a lot of work involved, not just in the planting, but even more so in the upkeep throughout the summer, especially since it was a low rainfall for the most part last year. Watering was a big, important thing. But also a very important thing was building up those little fragile trees by taking away those weeds that grew up right around that tree. By hand, with delicate pulls, you know, a person needs to take that grass and weeds and whatever would seek to grow there right around and choke out that little tree. And you know what? It took work there to continually edify those trees, if you could put it in those words. And so God says, establish your hearts, edify your hearts, build them up, make sure they're founded. You know, I have to think about building construction. You know, if you're going to build something, and when we added on in 2016 to the front of this facility, when we added on this addition, we first prepared the site. There was a tree to take down that was in the way. There was much dirt to be dug, excavated, so that we could get down below the frost line, get down into the I don't know if you'd call it bedrock, it was more like clay, but you know, get down in there into the ground that's undisturbed and that is stable. And so God says, establish your hearts. You see, if your heart is just lying there on the surface of life, and it's just driven by the gusts of wind, and it's just torn with this advertisement and that advertisement and this thing and that thing, oh friend, we must have our hearts established. In order to do that, you need to prepare the site. Prepare the site. Look at James chapter 4, if you would. James 4, verses 8 and verse 9. James 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Here's site preparation. And I don't mean the site as in S-I-T-E, right? Site preparation here. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. On a building site, this is when the excavator comes in and removes that tree stump, removes that dirt, removes the old cement from perhaps a dilapidated structure that was in the way. And you remove all that junk, all that stuff that needs to get out of the way so you can put in a proper foundation. And so there's the surveying, there's the cleanup of the area, there's the excavation of what's in the way of a good foundation. Then there needs to be the input of unseen materials. The input of what will become unseen materials. In this addition out here, once the excavation was completed and we were down to the level in the ground that we needed to be, we put in rock. 1-inch rock, if my memory serves me right. 1-inch rock that was laid there on the whole area, but even particularly even outside of what would be the foundation, and that whole area, we laid rock. This is the input of unseen materials. Then there was also concrete footings placed in the ground, deep in the ground. Concrete footings. You see, look at James 4, verse 7. Here is some of this input of unseen materials. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. You see, submission is a matter of the interior. It's unseen. Now, it will show itself on the outside one way or the other, but submission of the heart begins inside, in not just site preparation, but inputting materials to have a established heart. Look at verse 10, the first part of it. Humble yourselves in the sight of who? In the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And so there's the inputting of these what will be unseen materials. You go around this building today, you can't see those footings 10 feet in the ground or 8 feet in the ground. You can't see those that rock that's below the surface. It's not visible any longer. But it's prepared a good foundation for stability. Then we have another stage. So not only site preparation, the input of unseen materials, but then you have the construction of the foundation itself. The construction, be it in this case walls, basement walls that we installed. And look at James 4, verse 10. Chapter 4 of James, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will happen? He shall lift you up. He's going to raise it up. As we prepare our hearts, as we humble ourselves, there's the construction of the foundation walls. Then, fourthly, I wrote down another aspect of practical application, and that is we need to guard against erosion. Guard against erosion. In order to have a strong foundation, you have to guard against erosion. This was one reason why rock was placed down in the ground. Because water goes straight down through rock. It never seeps up. And so there was rock placed on the outside of the foundation walls, several feet deep. Around backfilled was rock, not black dirt, not clay, rock. Why? And I think in that case it was pea rock, smaller rock. And this pea rock was placed there. Why? Because when water, when runoff hits that, it goes straight down. It does not sop against your walls. It does not bleed into your building. It goes down. And there's drainage pipe that was installed in that 1-inch rock deep below the foundation. And the purpose of that drainage pipe being installed in that large rock was so that that water, any water from the ground coming up or from rainfall coming down or snow melt coming down would run to a sump hole and can be dealt with and pumped out. I'll tell you what, friend, in your life you need to guard against erosion. Guard against erosion. Friend, you need some materials placed in your life that will be a means of protection. There is so much media out there that will destroy your life, that will contaminate and damage your heart. You need to channel that right into the sump pump and pump it out in the ditch. Get rid of it out of your life. There are things you can read. My friend, there's trash books out there. There's things you can look at that will destroy your mind. They'll destroy your heart. God says here in His Word, we're in chapter 5 here, James, and He says, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts." That's what we're talking about. Establish your hearts. Make firm your heart. We've talked about site preparation. We've talked about the input of unseen materials. We've talked about the actual construction of the foundation in a little bit. We've talked about the guard against erosion. Friend, you need gutters. You need gutters in your life that will just carry that, what otherwise could be damaging water to your building and gutter, direct it away where it will not harm your footings, your foundation. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Out of it are the issues of life. I will close with just this little story. I've traveled to Fargo on occasion, and I just think of Fargo because between here and there, there are several dilapidated places, dilapidated houses and barns. Maybe if you've traveled there, you've seen one or two of those along the way. You see, no one took care of them. They were, perhaps you could say at one time, they were established, right? They were built and maybe given some kind of a foundation, but there was no upkeep. And friend, in your life, we have got to be patient. We've got to continue to endure. Christian life isn't sitting back in the easy chair and just coasting till he comes. This idea of patience is as a runner runs with patience. They endure. They stay on track. They keep their eyes on Jesus. This is what God is encouraging us, to be patient. Establish your hearts. Notice what he says, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus will come. Will your life be like one of those dilapidated houses where people used to live, where children used to play, but now are broken down, twisting, roof broken, water and mold growing in these dilapidated places that were never kept up? Let's be patient. Let's wait for the precious fruit. Keep hoeing your row. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh.